Today on The Journey.
Our bodies are going to be raised to a resurrected heavenly body, and we're going to live with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. You don't have to have the fear of death when you know Jesus Christ.
Since Adam, one fear has overshadowed the rest. And through the fear of death, we've lost the ability to really live. So on today's broadcast, Ron Moore opens the Word of Life to find hope beyond the grave and the way to pass from death to abundant days. Just before that, I want you to note Ron's joyful holiday publication titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. Within its pages, you'll find thoughts and activities to make this Christmas the most meaningful and uplifting ever. Advent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Fear of Death, on the Journey.
Death is that great leveler. Time Magazine has explained in their cover story on June 11, 2012, How to Die. I'm sure you'll want to check that out. And then Time again has us rethinking heaven, April 16, 2012. And Christianity Today evaluated all the stories about people who die and go to heaven and then come back. And I got to tell you, I'm not convinced on those stories. The only person we know for sure who went into heaven was the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians. When he came back, he said, I heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell, much less write a book about it. So the jury's still out on my mind regarding those accounts. But here's what we do know for sure. Ecclesiastes 7:2, death is the destiny of everyone. And Hebrews 9:7, it's appointed unto men and women once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if we're not afraid of death itself, then that judgment is something that we fear. We said that in order to deal with fear, we have to embrace, first of all, healthy fear, and that's the fear of God. In the fear of God, we learn to honor God and respect God and live in awe of Him and reverence Him. But it's not just lip service. It's demonstrated with our lives. When we learn to fear God more, we will fear other people and things less. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. And when we have strong confidence, then our children have a refuge as well. So with the fear of God as the foundation, we have addressed things like inadequacy, the fear of not measuring up, surrender, the fear of giving over control. That's a tough one for some of us. Uncertainty, because we don't have a guarantee of what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't have any guarantee of what's going to happen this afternoon. Failure. Today, we want to look at this fear that we all have, the fear of death. Now, to begin with, we know a couple things about death. First of all, it's not the way it's supposed to be. When God created the world in Genesis chapter 1, He created everything in it. He created man and woman, and man lived in this perfect harmony vertically with God and in perfect harmony horizontally with each other and with an environment and the animals around him. Literally heaven on earth. You know what happened? In Genesis chapter 3, God said, don't eat from the fruit. They ate of the fruit. Sin entered into the world like a poison at the beginning of a stream, infects the entire stream. So sin in the life of Adam and Eve, blatant disobedience to God's command, has infected us all. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in the same way death came to all people, because all have sinned. In Genesis 4, Adam and Eve experienced death firsthand. Cain, one of their sons, kills Abel, another son. Not only do they grieve the loss of their son, but happening so quickly after their disobedience, they saw firsthand that what they did caused this death. Death is inevitable. That's the second thing we see. History just becomes a record from Genesis 4 of people who live and die. We can ignore it. We can pretend it's not going to happen to us, even though it's happening all around us. But Scripture is clear. Psalm 89, who can live and not see death, or who can escape the power of the grave? Rhetorical question, answers no one. Ecclesiastes 8:8, no one has the power over the wind to contain it, and so no one has the power over the time of their death. You may be 16 and be closer to death than someone who's 85. Ecclesiastes 7:12, death is the destiny of everyone. And a physical death wasn't enough to fear. Scripture says that there's a spiritual death, an eternal separation from God forever. Revelation 21 says this, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars. John is saying those who have this as the habit of their life. This is who they are. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Scripture is clear and says just as there is a heaven, there is a hell. And if we're going to be true to Scripture, we've got to understand that there's an eternity with God and there's an eternity separated from God. And we cannot water that down one bit. There are theological issues that people have a hard time grasping. There are theological issues that people don't believe, but death is not one of them. Because if you're alive, you know that people die. And as we fear death itself, there's another thing that comes with us because we know we are separated from those we love. I remember talking to a guy years back, and he was going through a tough time. He knew he was going to die, and he said, I know I'm going to die, and I'm going to face that. I know others have faced it before. I'm going to face that. I'm not afraid of death, but man, am I going to miss my children and my grandchildren. And so there may not be the fear of death itself, but the dread of what you will miss after that. So what I want to do today is talk about, from Scripture, how we can be confident in death with a certain hope, not I wish, not I might, not I hope it works out in the end, but a confidence of what will happen when we die. I want to look at, too, what takes place after we take that final breath. So when sin entered the world, in Genesis chapter 3, death became a reality. And the penalty of sin has always been death. Sin not only changed Adam and Eve's relationship with God, it changed Adam and Eve's relationship with each other. You remember one of the first things that Adam and Eve did after they sinned? Prior to that, in Genesis 2, they were naked and felt no shame. There was complete vulnerability and no shame. We can't even imagine that in our world. But as soon as sin came, they realized their nakedness, their vulnerability, their differences. Scripture says they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. Now, it's interesting that God confronted them, and here's the first thing God did after he confronted them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Now, what do you have to do to make a garment of skin? Got to kill an animal, right? And so God, in his grace, said, you deserve to die. You disobeyed. The wages of sin is death. But because of my grace, because I love you, he provided a substitute. He put to death an animal, and then he gave them coverings made of skin. And that instituted the Old Testament system of sacrifice. Now think about it. That person who was making the sacrifice would put their hand on the head of the animal that was being put to death. And then the throat of the animal would be cut. And that animal would be writhing in its last moments of life. And that believer would feel that and experience that and would know that they should be the one dying, not the animal. But by God's grace, as they experienced that, they would know that God provided a substitute. And in the New Testament, we learn that that system was never meant to be the end-all be-all. That system was a reminder that the blood of bulls and goats cannot conquer sin. If it did, you wouldn't have to come back next year and do the same thing over. It was a reminder that I'm going to send someone as the perfect substitute. And he did in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for our sins, to become the perfect sacrifice. John, when he introduces Christ in John chapter 1, remember what he says? He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so it's Jesus who comes, fully God, fully man, no one ever like him. And as God, he can die a perfect death for us. As a man, he can die on our behalf. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, died on the cross for our sin. No one like that. Only Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Only Jesus can give us confidence. Only Jesus is the one who not only died, but rose again from the dead. It's only Jesus who conquered death itself. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, Jesus saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death. He has gone through it for us, rose from the dead, and brought life and immortality to the light of the gospel. If I'm going to follow someone through death, I want to follow the only one who has destroyed it. I want to follow the only one who has died and rose again from the dead. And it's only through Jesus Christ. He's not one way. He's not one of many ways. He's not just a good way. He's the only way you can have a relationship with the living God. John chapter 5, verse 24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. That's the promise of Scripture. When we know Jesus Christ, we will pass over from death to life. Death is only a transition. Death only takes us from life that we know through a passageway to life eternal. When I was 19 years old, my dad passed away. And I remember watching my dad die. And then through a series of things, I had to commute to college for a semester. And I was on the road a lot. And I memorized a lot of scripture during that time. And I remember that verse. And it was so real that I had watched my dad pass from death to life. And you can have that assurance. You can know without any doubt that when you close your eyes in death, you will open them up and see your Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Death is only a passage into eternal life. Do you believe this? The biggest question of the day. That's the biggest question of your life. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone, not as one way, not as a good way, not as one of many ways? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God? If you have, you can have confidence in death itself, the final enemy, the ultimate test. If you haven't, then fear is inevitable. One more thing. What's going to happen when we die? What's it going to be like? What happens to our bodies and what happens to our spirit? We know that when we die, our bodies become lifeless. And we're going to see from Scripture in a second that our spirits go to be with the Lord immediately. And then we're going to talk about what happens in the meantime to our bodies, where we are and what's going on. The first question is, what happens to our soul? Again, the soul is the life of us. And it's not looking very good. It's going down quick. But our spirit is the part of us that makes us think and love other people, obeying God. The things that make us alive is our spirit. And our spirit goes to be with God. Now, some people teach that there's a soul sleep. So your body's dead and your soul goes to sleep and lives in this unconscious state, unaware of time until Christ returns. That comes from some passages in the New Testament that talk about a person who dies. We'll see one in 1 Thessalonians here in a second. When someone dies, they fall asleep. Often, Scripture describes the believer who dies as one who has fallen asleep. But it's not an unconscious state. In the Jewish mind, it's a figure of speech to signify that the person now has passed from the struggles of life and on into the presence of God. So, soul sleep. Some teach paradise and Abraham's bosom, and there's this holding tank that you go to. And you stay there for a while in this intermediate state. And others say, well, there's purgatory. You're a believer, but you're still impure, and you have to go through time in purgatory, maybe some more punishment, to purify you. Well, what's Scripture say? The Bible teaches that there is a continuity of passing from this life into the presence of God. No soul sleep, no holding pattern, and no purgatory. The Bible teaches that as soon as we die, our spirits, our soul, goes to be with Christ in heaven. Now, let me give you three passages that support that. Here's the first one. Jesus is on the cross, one thief on each side. And one thief is hurling insults at him and saying, if you're the Son of God, get us down from here. And the other says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Luke 23, 43, Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. No soul sleep. No purgatory. No holding pattern. Today, when you die, you're going to be with me in paradise. With Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would rather be away from the body and where? At home with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 is another one. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and what? To die is better. If I'm going to live on in the body, that will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Paul is confident that as soon as he dies, as soon as he breathes his last breath, he will be absent from that shell that he has lived in, and he will be present with the Lord because of Jesus. And we can too. The moment we close our eyes in death, whether at the end of a long illness, whether like that, the moment we are taken from this earth, we can know with certainty that we will be in the presence of the living God. Again, do you have that certainty? So we die, our bodies are here, our spirit, our soul goes to be with Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So what's going to happen to our body? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We believe this verse speaks of the rapture, but we won't get into that today. I just want you to see something that's going to happen. Follow with me in this chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what's going to happen about those who fall asleep, about believers who die. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or we don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Some people have no hope. And so there's a grieving there for certain. And you're going to grieve because you're going to miss your loved one, that's for sure. But you're not going to grieve like those who have no hope, because you know that that person is with the Lord. Verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So if God's going to bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, where do those people have to be? With Jesus. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself, Jesus himself, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ, the bodies, will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up, that's the word rapture, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So all of us are going to die, right? It's inevitable. You don't agree with anything else I've said, we can agree with that. When we die, we all know our body is lifeless. But we know from Scripture that as soon as we die, if we're a believer, if we trusted in Christ, our spirit goes to be with Christ. We are absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul says there's going to be a day when Christ comes back. And when he comes back, he's going to bring with him all those who are in Christ. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Now just picture this. All the cemeteries, mausoleums, whether a person's been lost at sea, buried, cremated, doesn't matter. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Their bodies, our bodies, are going to rise in resurrected form. And it says we're going to be joined with our spirits in the air in resurrected bodies, meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with Christ forever. What are those resurrected bodies going to look like? Just check out the resurrected body of Jesus. They knew who he was. They recognized his voice. They saw the scars on his hand and in his side. He could also walk through walls, which would be pretty cool. Resurrected bodies forever. So 1 Thessalonians tells us that our spirits are with the Lord. Christ is going to come down. We're going to come down with him. Our bodies in the grave, doesn't matter if it's been a day or a thousand years. Our bodies are going to be raised to a resurrected heavenly body, going to be rejoined with our spirits, and we're going to live with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. You don't have to have the fear of death when you know Jesus Christ.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Does your frantic holiday schedule threaten to push the true meaning of Christmas to the back shelves of your mind and heart? Would you like to recapture the wonder of the season and share it with friends and family? Well, you can do that with Ron's holiday guide titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It shares devotions and activities crafted from carefully selected scripture readings. There, Ron helps you rekindle the anticipation of Christ's first coming and celebrate his joyous arrival on Christmas Day. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, will enrich your spirit this holiday season. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
With God, he's not wasting your time. You may be in a particular place right now, you're not very happy about it, and you're wondering what God's doing with you, and you're wondering if he's forgotten you. And I'm just here to tell you from God's word, he's preparing you for the next step.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It'll give each day of the holiday season joyful meaning as Ron guides you through the Advent calendar. Advent, Preparing for Christmas is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018.
That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.